Pray together, our Heavenly Father, indeed may the spirit of revival be that which we experience because we are enlightened by the Word of God, because the Spirit of God has perfect freedom to move upon our hearts, because you would grant us understanding of those things that might indeed help us to see ourselves as you see us, help us to see the world in which we live as you see it, and bring us closer to thyself and further away from those things that would undermine our walk with thee. Lord, we seek your blessing today as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as I continue in our study of renewal, the last time we were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and Matthew the 7th chapter, different passages of Scripture, speaking about the importance of raising up a temple unto the glory of God in our own lives. We're speaking about the subject specifically of edification, of building up. Edification requires the right foundation. There is but only one foundation on which we can build our spiritual lives. It is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. All other foundations are not really foundations there, but sinking sand. And as the Lord Jesus dealt with that picture back in the Gospel of Matthew, so we understand that if we build on anything other than Him, that it is hopeless, it is bound for destruction and loss. So then also, though, as we build upon the right foundation, it is also the importance of raising up the right superstructure that is consistent and honoring to the foundation. When I am saved, I'm not left to live any further for myself. Indeed, the Scripture makes it very plain. I am to live for His praise and glory. I am to be a testimony of the difference that He makes. My life is to reflect the change that has come in my life since I have trusted in Christ as my personal Savior. Salvation is, in a way, not an ending, but quite the contrary, just a beginning. And for me as a believer, to live for the Lord Jesus Christ is both a duty as well as a great privilege, and we should count it a privilege even so to live for Him. But as I go on here this morning in the subject of edification, I said that there are really three different venues of edification. First of all, it is the necessity for me to be built up and to be building up myself in the things of the Lord. That is my responsibility before Him, that I seek after those things that will help me make spiritual progress. But that is not, again, where it ends. There are two other venues as well. And further beyond ourselves is that we are also taught in the Scripture to build up or edify one another. And to that end, then, we will be looking at the Scriptures for that particular purpose. But then actually the third one is a variation of the second, because it is then also the ministry of edification as the responsibility of the local church in preaching and teaching the Word of God. And really, as we do that in the church, we are doing it in effect one for the other. But it is something that is really a great responsibility that falls on any ministry, that we ought to be building up believers in Jesus Christ, bringing them to a saving knowledge of Christ, but then building them up in their faith, helping them to make spiritual progress, helping them in the process of sanctification, ongoing sanctification, whereby we become less like the world we live in and more like the person and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When I think about that third one, it just says to me something that if I were in a church where there is no edification in the Word of God, then I don't belong there. You know, when I think about those things, you know, we don't want to be in some kind of a dead ministry that is preaching something other than God's Word. And where we fail to be edified, then we ought to, like good Baptists, we vote with our pocketbooks and we vote with our feet. You know, and those things still remain true, but I'm afraid sometimes, and I know some people who are in ministries where the Word of God is not faithfully given forth, and you don't belong there. But I trust that you value that here we preach and teach God's Word, and so I trust that you understand how important we take that responsibility here. Let me backtrack just a little bit, though, and set some foundation, if I may. Because in order to build up one another, as the next step that we're going into in this study even here this morning, means that I have to get my focus off of myself and upon the needs of others and the importance of me ministering to other people. We are in the most self-centered generation, I think, that I have seen in my entire lifetime. The world revolves around me, myself, and I. Everything is gauged according to how I see it, how I value it, whether I like it or dislike it. And of course, all those judgments are relative. So what I like today, I may hate tomorrow and vice versa. And so there's no absolute standards that are there whatsoever, nor is there any kind of absolute truth. And we just kind of find ourselves kind of floating around, and I become the final determination of all things. And in that process of doing that, then we have a hard time really seriously taking the needs of other people to heart as we ought to. And especially as believers in Christ, we are bound according to God's word, that we have a care for one another, especially as fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And that is a family relationship that we need to work on. But it begins, first of all, even with ourselves. I've looked back at the book of Jude, the epistle of Jude, verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Building up yourselves, yes, is where it needs to begin, but it doesn't end there. So then also for those of you in adult Sunday schools, we've been studying Paul's letter to the Colossians. And as you read the second chapter and verses 6 and 7, if you don't know that, then it's right there in your bulletin. You can read it right off the bulletin. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And when you read those entire verses that are there, they summarize where I ought to be first for my own edification. Now, if that sounds like I'm going backwards, let me explain why. Because there's a basic principle that is involved here. And it is a principle I want to make sure every one of us understand. You may already realize this fact, especially if you're in any kind of a teaching ministry in our church here. And it is simply this: I cannot help anyone else, hear me, I cannot help anyone else or build anyone else up in their faith beyond the point where I am myself. Understand what I'm saying? You know, if I'm called upon to help somebody else, what that does is it reflects upon, well, where have I been? How much have I grown? How much have I accomplished in the better understanding of the things of God, of the things of His Word, of the practical application, of the principles that are there in Scripture? Because I may be here this morning, oh, Pastor, I'd love to help somebody else, but I have a hard time just for me. Then that's where you need to deal with first. That's where you need to work first. That indeed, that's not something where we help other people to the absence of growing spiritually on our own. Quite the contrary, I find that as we minister to other people, that helps us grow. That's part of our growth process that should have already been there. Time and again, when I talk to people like our Sunday school teachers or other ministries that we have here, and I say, you know, do you realize how much you learn in preparation of teaching other people? Because then that, what does that do? That disciplines you. You have to gain an understanding. You have to get a hold of the truth. You have to see exactly what it is all about. Because if you try to fake it and just present it to somebody and you don't know what you're talking about, it'll be obvious. Make no mistake. And we don't want to misrepresent the truth of God's word. We do not want to be unprepared. We do not want to take the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God as something lightly to be handled, as if it is something of no great importance. It is the greatest opportunity. It is the greatest responsibility. It is the greatest privilege this side of heaven, people. Make no mistake. If you don't understand that, then you need to grow yourself. There's something you need to do as far as your own heart is concerned, because if your heart's where it ought to be, you would fully understand that truth. But you see, we have the instruction, building up yourselves, walking in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. And indeed, when we read those kinds of verses of Scripture, it says, I need to make sure where I am before I can help anyone else. To be making my own spiritual progress, whether it is a result of exhortation or edification that I am still receiving. That is something that is an ongoing process, and I realize I will be of no help of anyone else unless I am also making that progress in my own heart and in my own life. Indeed, can I put it in the extreme? If I am not in a position of helping someone else where indeed I have gained, I have grown, I have made spiritual progress, how much of a difference am I, regardless of how long I've been saved, in comparison to somebody who's just a brand new believer? In my experience, you know, you lead someone to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and the first thing we want to do is we want to get a Bible in their hands. And then, okay, now where do I go in the Bible? I mean, you know, they're just newborn babes. And so, you know, okay, how do we find our way between Genesis and Revelation? How do we look at different passages of Scripture? And we understand that for those who are new in the faith. But here is my problem and my concern when we talk about building up ourselves. And that is, how far along have we come? How long ago have we been saved? How many months or years has it been? How much progress has been made? How much have we sought after being edified as well as exhorted in the things of God to the point where, yes, I recognize a spiritual progress in my own life? Oh, you don't know where to find the book of Ephesians? Glad to help you. Let me show you. Here, we'll take a Bible. Here, you can read off of mine. Or let's take one out of the pew here. Let me show you so you can read what Pastor's talking about here this morning. Where I get away from myself, and where my concern extends to building up other people, where I care about their spiritual welfare as well as my own, where I am burdened because I want to see other people come to the place of understanding that even I have. This brings me back to a passage of Scripture in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, here this morning. We'll look at a couple different verses, and then we'll end up back in Ephesians 4, where we read this morning. But I come to the writer of Hebrews, and I often think that I'm looking at what the Apostle Paul has written, although we're not sure. But when I read from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, this passage underscores the issue for me, because he writes, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now there's a whole message even in that passage of Scripture. We ought to be able to teach others. We ought to be able to edify and build up other people. The only exception that is here, and it's not excuse for those who have been saved for any length of time, but it's understandable for those that the writer of Hebrews here describes as babes, those who are just nursing on the milk of God's word, because everybody has to begin where they are. But the thing is, where we begin is not where we need to stay. Indeed, just for ourselves is not where we can stay, but rather there ought to be that opportunity, that ability, and the recognition of the need of other people where we can come alongside as that comforter that we've been talking about through all this study and help other people in their spiritual growth. But the thing is, I can't do that if I be one who is still back at what the writer here says in verse 12 are the first principles of the oracles of God, the milk of the word rather than strong meat. I love steak. I love the barbecue steak. Hamburger? Yeah. But you know what? I'd have an appetite for the things of God that's like steak. Real meat. Okay. I have a desire to be past where I have been. There ought to be a discontent in my heart spiritually to say, you know, how long you've been living here, nursing on the bottle of the things of God's word. About time you get moving forward. And it is so that not only I move forward, but so then I can be a blessing to other people, because then I have the opportunity to help those who are like I used to be. For those of us who can still remember when we go back to the time when we were first saved, can you picture in your mind where you were? You know, where do you find Ephesians? Where do you find Romans? Where do you find Habakkuk? Now, there's a challenge, even for some of us today. Okay. But to be able to say, you know, we've been there, we've done that, let me show you. I'll be so glad to, here's how it goes. Getting away from ourselves. Being concerned about ministering to other people. But it is not just a carte blanche where do whatever you please. No, we want to help them to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Always begins with salvation, but it never ends there. There is then that progression that needs to take place. But it is an investment in others. When I read here in Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, as you read between the lines, says, if you're still sucking on the bottle, you know, and you're still an infant, spiritually speaking, then you're still all around you. You have not yet learned to break out of that shell and to get out and to be able to minister to other people in a way that builds them up spiritually, in a way that is so necessary for their welfare, as not just our own. I think about these things when I read in this portion of Scripture, to teach and to build up others besides myself. I ought to see the need that is there. I ought to be glad to disciple them. I ought to take an interest in the spiritual welfare of other people, because it's not just about us, but it is about those other folks. When I read in Romans, the 15th chapter, and I look at the opening verses, and it says there, Romans chapter 15, 1 and 2, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And then, just in case you missed the point, the last phrase of Romans chapter 15, verse 1. And can I add the word, just to please ourselves, because that's the thought that is there. I think Romans 15, 1 makes it very plain. Get off of me being the center of my life. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ, but live also towards other people. Especially my brethren in Christ, especially those who are younger than I am, spiritually speaking, who need to grow, who need to hear, who need to understand, who need not only to know what they believe, but why they believe it and can defend it from the Scriptures. Not just an opinion or because Pastor Deere said so. And you read then the example that it goes further here in Romans 15. Let every one of us please his neighbor. And then notice the last words of Romans 15, 2. For his good. To edification. Spiritually building them up. That which is truly good for them. We can do a lot of things for other people. You know, we live in a society here where we're encouraged to help other people in time of need. And we are glad to do that. There's only one problem, though. The world tries to do it outside of the context of the Word of God. It tries to do it outside of the true context of the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, so many of those things fail, and you want to know the reason why they fail. It's because of the absence of the spiritual. It is purely material. We have literally seen in our nation hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars that have been spent with very little impact and very little change that has been made. And if you ask the question why, it's because we have tried to change people from the outside in rather than changing people from the inside out. And the only way you change people from the inside out is you bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You bring them to the place where they understand the authority of God's Word in their life, and you teach them to walk in obedience to the Scriptures. That makes a difference. A real difference. A difference that people really need. Not just a handout, by any means. Well, let me go on. Because as I look at these things, I want to make sure that I am growing spiritually, and then also I want to have a heart for the spiritual growth of other people. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 11, is the next verse of Scripture. We were at this once before. I come back to it again because it is perhaps the keystone that is here. Because when I read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and as I read the listing, the instruction that is there, I find in this verse the thoughts that we have been studying being brought all together in a marvelous way, because Paul writes very simply. He says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Now, that was a compliment to the believers in this church. Paul says, I know that you're already doing this, but you need to continue. But the ministry of comforting, and we will see that even if we turn back a page in a moment. But the thing is, it is comforting yourselves together. One of the phrases that we were studying before in this was one another. That's appropriate for this verse to say, wherefore comfort one another. You'd be reading the same thought that is here in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. But the thing is, to answer a question as to how that comforting is fulfilled, you will remember that we talked about the aspects of being a comforter. Let me refresh your memory. It includes teaching, interceding, or advocating for others before God's throne of grace. It includes mediating. That is where we put ourselves at our expense in the midst of a situation on behalf of someone else. And that also is part and parcel of what it means to pray for other people. And we extended that even to praying for those who cannot pray for themselves. This all is woven together, folks. This all ties in with all the things that we have already seen and worked on. But the thing is here, it is to edify one another. That is the part of the work of a comforter to other people. A comfort that is based upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. A comfort that is drawn from the Word of God. And a comfort that rests in the promises of God. You see, here in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul is talking about comforting, but the thing is, go back a page, if you will, to the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Men from my class here this morning, they know we were in 1 Thessalonians for a little bit, or at least we talked about it. We didn't read all the verses of Scripture, but what is it all about? It is about the hope of the church of Jesus Christ. What is the hope of the church? The hope of the church is the rapture of the body of Christ. It is talking about the any moment, imminent return of the Lord Jesus to come and to take away those who either are living in faith in Him or who have died in faith in Him, and either way are going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the last verse of chapter 4 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What is the great comfort of the believer? Our hope in Jesus Christ. What is the greatest way that we can encourage one another? Is that when we are going through the trials of life, when we are going through the difficulties that we face day in and day out, when those things seem to be overwhelming, I have one grand hope that I can look forward to, that looks to the future and says, this is all going to come to an end. And when Jesus Christ comes again, it's going to be all left behind. Praise God. Not just some of it, all of it. We were talking about it in class this morning. I said one of the best things is that when the rapture comes, praise God, my old nature is going to be left behind. Amen? Oh, boy. All that I've struggled with since I've been saved, even up to this very moment here, praise God, that's going to be part of the stuff I'm going to shuffle off and just leave here when I go out. And if you're a believer here this morning, you would be so glad just for that. Just for that alone. But you see, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Verse 11, chapter 5, wherefore comfort yourselves, carries the same thought as the last verse of chapter 4. But it is as we comfort one another, let's also edify, let's build up each other in spiritual things. Let's be like those of the church that is described here, that have fulfilled that task, understand the importance of it. What a good thing it is to learn about our hope in Christ, that death is not a defeat, but rather it is a transition to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And then there are those things that are beneficial about mutual edification. And again, I go back to Romans, but the 14th chapter. In verse 19, Paul writes, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another. In the context of Romans 14. I need to describe that, where that verse comes from. You see, there was a problem of people who were a stumbling block to one another. It had to do with a subject that is known as Christian liberty. Some people felt convicted about some questionable things, and so they would not do them. But there were some of their brethren who did not feel that particular conviction. The scripture did not speak expressly against that particular thing. And so there was an issue there where Paul dealt with that, and he said, look, you know, we need to be considerate of our brother and sister in Christ. Maybe there's some things that while you look at it and you say, what's the big deal? That nevertheless, because we care for our brother, because of peace that we want to keep in the fellowship of Jesus Christ, and because we set the importance of peace between believers higher than the indulgence of myself, that I come to the place and say, you know what? I'm not to have anything more important in my life that I cannot do without than the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. So therefore, I can voluntarily walk away. And there, as you read Romans chapter 14, verse 19, he said, now that's what builds up my brethren in Christ. That's what builds them up in their faith. That's what strengthens rather than undermines them. It is set in contrast as you read the context of that particular passage. And it is one of those things there where we edify unto a peaceful relationship rather than becoming a stumbling block or causing conflict. Hey, let's be honest about it, shall we? Conflict comes when I indulge me above other people. More often than not. Okay? When I want to have my way. Oh, you know the expression? My way or the highway. Oh, isn't that amazing? We all, wow. Where do we learn that? Not in this book. Do you realize how contrary that is to the Word of God? Ooh. Maybe you've said those words. See, this is where we're talking about getting away from me, myself, and I, and caring about not the tearing down, but the building up of my brother and sister in Christ. This is where I'm concerned not just about my own spiritual growth, where I ought to be concerned about that. No mistake. But I also am concerned about the impact my life makes on other people who also profess faith in Jesus Christ. Am I helping them to move in the right direction? Am I helping them to grow? Am I helping to see the things of the Word of God that have been working in my life? And I would love to see them working in their hearts and their lives. And so I am burdened to that end. And it's not just some empty words to say I care, but it is the investment of myself, what the Lord has taught me, the experience I've had of walking with the Lord, the things that I've learned from His Word. And we want to invest those in one another, so that we all come to that great place where we have greater understanding of the things of God. And my, what great rejoicing that can be between believers to realize the greater things, the depth of God's Word that perhaps before we did not know. Now what I've described so far here this morning about mutual edification is on a personal level. All right? That's me as just a believer concerned about the welfare of my brothers and sisters in Christ. But it's also to be done corporately as a church. Indeed, that's really just an extension, is it not, of just that mutual one another care that we are talking about. In the local church, there is the importance that is set upon the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Let me come back to my thought that I had as I began and introduced this even here this morning. The reason why in Crescentville Baptist Church, we don't have an altar. Okay? The reason why we don't have any fancy stuff and candles burning and all those kinds of things, I'm amused sometimes with people who I know who come out of Roman Catholicism, and they come into Crescentville Baptist Church. At least half the time, they don't say it in these words, but this is what they mean. Your church is plain. And I say, yes, it is. And I explain it very simply in this way. There's not an altar where the pastor turns around and does something for the people. We are the priesthood of believers. We don't need an altar. But hear me this morning. The focal point of a church like ours is the pulpit. And properly so, because the one most important thing is the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Hear me. When we allow anything else to eclipse, as it were, the pulpit, we have crossed a serious line. And we need to be extremely careful about that. Because we are here for exhortation. What I'm doing here is exhorting you in the Word of God. I'm also edifying you. I'm teaching you. But I'm not just spilling out here facts and information for you to write down or to memorize or to be able to parrot back. Quite the contrary. What I want you to do is to understand beyond just the words and the thoughts the importance of these things. There's an urging here that we owe to the people who come under the teaching of God's Word. Whether it be in a worship service, whether it be in the Sunday school class, whether it be in a children's ministry, whether it be in a vacation Bible school program, name what you will. Exhortation and edification are absolute necessities. Can I digress for a moment just with that? They are our responsibilities to give regardless of whom or to how many we give it. I've had some occasions to preach to a couple hundred people at once. I have to be honest with you, I was nervous because I wasn't used to that. But it was a great privilege. And it was simply to open the Word of God. But you know, here we are this morning, or if it's in a Sunday school class, or if it's in a ministry, and you know, you may be down to, Sunday school teachers, hear me especially this morning. You may be down to a handful of children. May I simply say to you, do no less than you would if there were 20 or 50 or 100. Don't you dare walk away and say, well, that's not worth my effort or my time. Don't dare. Don't do that. Because you know what that communicates? It says, I'm still about me, not about others. I have yet to learn the importance of edifying others, even if it were only one or two. Now, I say that from experience. Some of the things I used to do before I was pastor here, and Dad and I were working together to help a church way up in Macungie, which is a burg up above Fogelsville, which really doesn't help you a whole lot either, I guess. Let's just say northwest of Allentown. That'd probably be one place you could probably put on the map there. And it was a church planning work, and as we had opportunity, he and I would take turns, and we would go up there and preach. And sometimes you'd only have a half dozen people there. And that taught me to preach like I was preaching to any number of people. That it wasn't about that. It was about the opening of God's Word. It was about exhorting, to use the terms that we're studying here, and edifying those people. To help them come to the place where they could help that work to grow. Where they would have both the information and the encouragement to go and to bring others to a saving knowledge of Christ and build that ministry. There ought not to be one of us here who would look at an opportunity to build up or edify someone else and say, you know what, it's not worth my time. It's not worth my energy. But rather we to be thankful for whatever opportunities the Lord gives us. That needs to be our spirit here, folks. That may require some change in our attitude. So be it. That's what the Word of God calls us to do. And it's not just a matter of full-time ministry. We have first taught about edifying one another on an individual basis. I purposely done that first before we talk about the ministries of the church. But then as far as a church ministry is concerned, that also is of equal importance. I think back to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and as you read the last two verses that are there, And Paul, as he instructs Timothy, speaking about the ministry of the Word of God, says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, look, Timothy, if you're going to go out there and preach, and you've gone out and you've been with me in several different ministries, and I've been able to entrust you certain things to do and to carry on, but the thing is, never lose the focus of the Scriptures. When I understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that says this is what God has given to the church to preach and to teach to other people. So then why would I teach or preach something else? I told you about my rabbi friend in the conversation I had with him and advice to a new rabbi in a synagogue. And well, you know, just take something out of the newspaper. Talk about current events or talk about a book that you've read recently. You know, and that's what you do, you know, when you quote preach or whatever they call it in the synagogue. And I kind of looked at him, but you know, that is probably more commonplace in more churches today. Sad to say, if they preach at all, if they preach anything, than to open up the Word of God. Paul sets a responsibility here upon Timothy. Timothy, all the Scriptures. It's all good. It's all profitable. It is all that we need to bring forth. Indeed, as you read the last verse, 17, it says that the man of God may be throughly furnished unto all good works. That throughly furnished is the sufficiency of the Scriptures. It is that point that is made that says very plainly, I don't want to digress from the Scriptures. There is enough in the Word of God to preach until the Lord Jesus comes again. From the time that He left. The church has a role in the ministry of edification. It provides leadership. Let me just give you some background thoughts that are here. Building is not accidental, but it's according to a design, a plan, a blueprint, where the materials and the resources are assembled together so that we arrive at the outcome of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, where indeed the man of God is throughly furnished unto all good works. It is actively presenting instruction in God's Word in every church ministry, whether we teach one or 100. It is a setting where believers can edify one another. In other words, if we ask, well, where do we edify other people? Where do we help my brother in Christ? One of the best places to do is right here where we are now. Yeah, let me explain some of that for you. First of all, we could go to places like Colossians chapter 3. I don't know that I have the time, other than verse 16 where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, whether you recognize it or not, Colossians 3:16 is about our mutual edification, but it is set in the context foremost here of the local church. Let me explain so that we understand. We're gathered in worship. That's coming together for mutual edification. We come here, and at the same time, we all hear the instruction of God's Word. There is also the message of the Word of God conveyed through music as we sing together unto the Lord, whether it be songs of praise to Him, or whether it be Scripture set to music, or whether it is a song that is a testimony telling what the Lord has done for us. It is to be done, as we read in Colossians 3:16, with grace in our hearts to the Lord. But the thing is, as we sing unto the Lord, are we not also encouraging, and may I use the word, edifying one another? The answer is yes. I don't mind singing by myself, usually in the shower. Sounds great in the shower. It echoes real good, you know. I sound better than I do otherwise. But folks, there is nothing like gathering with those of like precious faith, and together we praise the Lord in song. I think it's a shame that our young people have lost some of that because somehow singing out loud seems uncool. Can I just give you a quick opinion on that? That's the world talking. That's not the Word of God. That's the world discouraging you. We were just at a conference earlier this week, and I appreciate the opportunity to go out and to fellowship with my brethren in Christ who are in the ministry. And we were out there in a church out in Katanning, which is northeast of Pittsburgh. And you get a couple hundred preachers together, and we sing hymns. I mean, we sing. We had some brass there, trombone, two trumpets. But the best thing was to hear the people sing. I had the chance to lead one of the services there. We came to nearer, and I said, let's sing the last verse with just the harmony and without all the instruments. No organ, no piano, not the brass. Just voices. I don't know about you, but that kind of stuff puts chills down my spine. But I want to tell you, though, that is such a rich blessing, both to sing as well as to hear. But you see, if we don't sing, then how are we going to hear? Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. If indeed I understand what the Word of God teaches. So then also, I'm going to turn around and be able to teach and admonish one another. But it's not just going to be the words I speak. It's also in the songs that we sing. It's not just about the tune, people. It's about the words. That's the major objection we have, one of the major objections we have with contemporary music. 7 words sung 11 times doesn't get much mileage in doctrine. And then the beat and everything else, you know, further distracts, takes away, doesn't add, takes away. But when you sing the great hymns of the faith, when you sing those things that are great doctrinal truths, and do you understand the reason why those great doctrinal truths are set to music is so that it helps you to remember them. And so as I sing and as I hear others sing and I hear those words, I hear those great truths, that ministers to my heart, people. That's edifying. But you see, I don't just come here to listen to you guys sing. I want to sing. Yeah, I sometimes go to these conferences and when I have the opportunity and they'd have a church choir, I'd go up there and I'd say, what are you singing? And they show me the music. And I said, oh, I know that. I'm going to sing with you. Go up in the tenor section, sing with the choir. They say, who's this guy? You know, it was okay. I had a good time. We to have a desire. There ought to be that hunger within us where we can praise the Lord, especially in song. And we may not all sing good, but we can sing loud. We may not be the greatest, you know, voice in the world, but God is pleased. Indeed, the Scripture does not teach us. He wants to hear us sing His praises. And if that be so, who am I to deny Him what He desires from me? He wants to hear, but also, I edify those who are with me at the same time. And when I read Colossians 3:16, I understand from the Scriptures that is just as important as far as God is concerned. I want to use that which He has given to me for His praise and glory and to lift up my voice. See, we are in Hebrews 10:25 before. Let me just for a moment, and with this I'll have to conclude. And we've used this verse time and again when it says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, it uses the word exhortation that is there. We understand that. We've already studied that. But let me give you the rationale behind this, of why we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. It is what I deprive myself of, because then I don't receive the blessing. I don't receive the edification. But then also, I hold out my blessing from my brethren. My voice is not present to be added with the rest. You see, that's part of where I slip back, and it's about me, not about other people. If I think in terms of coming into a worship service or into a Sunday school service or whatever it is, and I don't think about what I bring besides my offering, then I've come as a consumer. I've come with a mindset that still says, me, myself, and I. What am I getting out of this? And rather than caring for my brother and sister in Christ, what I'm doing is I'm cheating them in the final analysis of the blessing of what I add with my presence and with my voice when it comes to singing. By my absence, I cannot share in the edification that everyone else will receive. It reminds me of the time when people have said, I'm so glad you preached that because they needed to hear that message. The variation of that is, Pastor, you really gave it to them. Okay? Get that one at the door as well. What I fail to do is to recognize the need that I have to be built up so that I can build up others. I miss Sunday school. I miss an opportunity to be built up. I miss prayer meeting. I miss an opportunity to both receive and be a blessing to others, especially through prayer as well as the singing. I miss a church service. I miss the presence of God amongst believers assembled for His worship. And what I'm reminded of last here this morning is back again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 at verse 20. And Paul says very simply, despise not prophesyings. Not future tense, preaching, edification. Paul says, be careful. To despise, may I remind you, is to set a lesser value of importance upon something than it deserves. It's to look at something to say, you know, I can take it or leave it. I don't really need it. When in fact I do. And again, it comes down to, this is still about me and not the impact of my life on other people. And if I realize that, then I realize I come here to contribute as much as to take away. And where that is not the case, where that breaks down and fails, yeah, I've cheated me, but I've also deprived other people as well. Edify one another is the instruction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us this morning to be built up in our faith. To build the superstructure that is truly consistent with the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. To hear the clear instruction that comes from your word. And Lord, you have brought these things into existence for the purpose of our spiritual welfare. Lord, help us to respect the value then of those things. And realize that it's not just about what we receive, but also what we bring to others. Lord, give us a heart to care for one another. Not just in word, but in deed. Not to count the cost, but rather to be invested in others and realize how important that is to you as it ought to be to ourselves. Lord, hear us today. Grant us that understanding that we need. Help us to practice those things that we learn We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.